This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Kelly Appleby, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Kelly, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. I am your host, Tim Keller. Along with me is Kelly Appleby and Doug Eddy. So, Doug, how you doing today, my man?
I am doing excellent. I got to go over to a neighbor's house and use their pool for a few hours. And then right after we record, I am off to a graduation party for my cousins. One graduated college, one graduated high school.
It's that time of year. Everybody's real busy this time of year. So, Kelly, I know you've been busy all weekend. So, how are you doing, sir?
Doing good. Doing good. Broadcasting from Atlantic City, New Jersey with the fam. Enjoying the beach life, slipped away to the car so we can get this banged out.
Where exactly you parked at?
Right along the old Hilton. On Providence, Providence Street. So come find me. Yeah, you can do some back street crap.
I'm disappointed it's not an Arby's parking lot.
I don't think there's an Arby's in downtown Atlantic City.
There has to be.
No, Atlantic City's not even classy enough for Arby's, baby. Anyways, we're going to get this thing going today. We are going to have a Law and Order episode. We did this, oh man, it must have been 8-10 months ago, where we take some Twitter trades and we post one person in the judge seat and the other two to argue out each side of the trade. And we'll have a rotating thing. That way, somebody can't be an impartial judge over and over and over again. But before we get into that, I want to talk about our sponsor, the Sit or Start app. The Sit or Start app is the premium app for all your Sit or Start questions. So when you're in season, you're down to that last flex spot and you just don't know who to put in, go over to the Sit or Start app, plug those two players in. It'll run that mathematical equation and it'll spit out the best player to put into your lineup to give you the most probability to win. It is the off season, but go get the Sit or Start app now. They have the news and notes section so you can keep up to date on all your players, and then they're there right there for you once the season starts. And then one other thing I wanted to hit on before we go into this Law and Order episode is go over to fantasycares.net. Our good buddy John Bosch has set up some eliminator leagues where you guys, the listeners, can play against some of your favorite podcast hosts, writers, rankers from all different kinds of sites, shows, all that good stuff. Go over to fantasycares.net, look for the Eliminator Leagues, sign up. You can play against us over here in the DHH pod and see if you can eliminate us. Set up, we draft, it's best ball. You don't have to set your lineups. Bottom score, eliminated every week. Winner takes home $100, it's $10 to enter. And money is being made for the Toys for Tot Foundation. All done through Scott Fish's website. John Bosch is running these group of leagues, though. So big thanks to both Scott Fish and Mr. John Bosch. So help raise some money, have some fun drafting football, and have some fun eliminating the DHH pod guys. So with that, let's get right in to this Law and Order episode. I know Tyler put out a little GIF earlier today of the, I guess it was like the regular Law and Order. I figured, we're some sexy guys. It should have been more like the Special Victims Unit, really. I think it's going to get a...
I agree with that 100%.
I think he messed up a little bit by just going with the regular Law and Order. We need some Special Victims Unit stuff up here.
So yeah, it's going to be rapey.
Yeah, real rape. I'm going to let you two guys battle it out on the first one, and I'll play judge. So the first one we have is the 101 and 102, or Amari Cooper. Doug, I'm going to let you choose sides on this one first. Which side of this would you like to argue for?
I'll argue for the Amari Cooper side.
Okay, so since you got to choose which side you wanted to argue for, Kelly, we'll let you go ahead and go first. So you have the 101 and 102. Explain to myself why the 101 and 102 is the better deal here.
I mean, right off the bat, I mean, you're going to take Corey Davis and more than likely Leonard Fournette. You got a top echelon running back there with Fournette. And you get a guy who everybody seems to think is going to be the one in a high-powered offense there with Marcus Mariota in Tennessee. How could you not have want to have two of the great young rookies in the league over a guy in Amari Cooper who's, you know, he's in a decent offense, but he there's plenty of options to go around there.
Is there really plenty of options? Because last I checked in the passing game, it's Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper, unless you believe that Seth Roberts, Clive Walford, and Jared Cook or anything. But here, look, you want Amari Cooper in this deal. He just turned 23 years old. He's heading into his third season. He's had 1,000 yards in both of his first two. He is looking jacked and swole. He's added some weight. He's a premier route runner in this league, and his quarterback just got signed to a long-term deal. So there's a lot of stability there, and I think Amari Cooper is finally going to have that big breakout year that everyone has been predicting, and just a super young talent, and I would rather have him over Corey Davis in an offense where they have a ton of targets. The Tennessee Titans have a lot more targets than the Oakland Raiders do, so that concerns me. And they just signed Eric Decker, so if you're looking to win in year one, which you should be looking to win every year in Dynasty, Amari Cooper is the move. And Leonard Fournette, not a huge fan of Fournette, but especially, you know, in PPR. But yeah, Amari Cooper is the move here, absolutely.
Yeah, Kelly, you brought up all the options in Oakland. I want to highlight, he brought up Decker. Delanie Walker's has gotten himself plenty.
You mean Tennessee, not Oakland.
Well, you brought up all the different targets, the different passing options in Oakland. I'm saying if we look at Tennessee, they just signed Decker. Doug already mentioned that. Delanie Walker has year over year gotten his fair share of targets. Sharp Matthews. I got to lean with Doug here. I want to take the guy who, well, I don't think he's a proven stud as of yet. He has stud potential for sure. Doug hit on it. Great route running ability. He and Crabtree are great 1A, 1B type players for each other right now. But 23 years old, Amari Cooper has a long time to keep growing in this league. And if here's where he's at now at 23, I can't wait to see where he's at 27. So I'm going to side with Doug here. I'm going to take Amari Cooper. So first round goes to Doug. So Doug, you'll get to play the judge on this next one. Kelly, you'll get to choose which side of this you want to battle out, and I'll try to take the other side here. So the case is Devonta Freeman or the 103 and 112. So
I'm going to go with – I'll go with Devonta Freeman here. I just think this is too simple of a choice.
Okay.
You start getting into the 12 area. It's just you're starting to take a shot on, you know, whatever your team needs in a sense. So Devonta Freeman is a beast in PPR. Got to go with Devonta Freeman over early first and late first.
Okay. Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I would like to present to you Devonta Freeman has admittedly had two very good seasons these past 2 years. But personally, I have never been as high as the consensus on Devonta Freeman, and I just – maybe it's me. Maybe it's just me. But personally, looking at it right now today, I would rather have my option of the potential of Joe Mixon. Maybe Corey Davis slides back to the 103. I highly doubt Fournette's there. But you could have your choice. After Davis and Fournette, pretty much, you have your choice at 103 of getting your guy. And then coming back at the 112 and getting yourself a good solid tight end prospect, a wide receiver with some potential to possibly hit down the road, or maybe build that running back depth chart that you just kind of gave up with giving away a Devonta Freeman. But personally, with the workload Devonta Freeman's had these past 2 years, the contract issues he seems to be having there in Atlanta, I don't know if Atlanta is sold on Devonta Freeman long term. I don't know if we should be as well.
All right, here he, the judge, is about to speak. So the judge, myself, believes that he is going to award in the favor of Devonta Freeman. And the reason being is, you know, you're talking the 112, which is not a pick that I'm too thrilled about. And the 1-3, I mean, you're talking Joe Mixon, maybe a McCaffrey, depending on the league that you're in. I think you got to go with the proven guy who's been a top 10 running back the last two seasons, even though it sounds like the contract that he's having issues with, it looks like it's going to get done. I know they lose Kyle Shanahan, but I still think Devonta Freeman is their workhorse with a little bit of a compliment of Tevin Coleman. So I rule in the favor of Devonta Freeman and Kelly.
Your Honor, you made it wise decision. I tried. So we'll move on to the next one here. This one seemed to be done during a draft because The guy that put the question out there, he puts 104 and then in parentheses Joe Mixon, and then he asked for people to hurry. He needed opinions. Or Brandon Cooks. So it seems like he may have been on the clock at 104. Joe Mixon was, in his opinion at least, you know, seemed to be the best player available. And he was offered Brandon Cooks, or vice versa. Maybe he was offering Brandon Cooks for Joe Mixon at the 104. So, yeah. So he's offered Brandon Cooks for the 104. And in his opinion, Joe Mixon is the best player available. And I would have to tend to agree there. If you're 104 and Joe Mixon's on the board, it's probably your best option. So, Kelly, you'll get to be the judge here.
Mm-hmm.
Doug and myself, we're going to go ahead and battle this out. You know what, Doug? I'm going to give you your newest guy. I'm going to give you Cooks. I'll go with Joe here.
All right. Well, in the case of Brandon Cooks, here is why you want Brandon Cooks over the 1-4. We talked about Amari Cooper being a young receiver and having a great start to his NFL career. Well, Brandon Cooks is in a similar spot. So Brandon Cooks is entering his fourth season, I believe. The Patriots just picked up his fifth-year option for next year, so he's going to be there at least for two seasons, and he is tied to the greatest quarterback of all time, Mr. One Tom Brady. Now, I believe that they're going to use him all over the field, and he is going to be not necessarily a target monster, but just a super efficient player who, again, we talk about running routes. They can use him with short passes out of the backfield, use him in the slot, have him running post corners and nine routes. They can use him all over the place. So for me, Brandon Cooks is the pick over Joe Mixon, who still has to deal with a Jeremy Hill and a Giovanni Bernard. And regardless if he wins the job or not, that offensive line is poopy. So I'm not really feeling Joe Mixon early on in his career. Maybe he ends up being a great player, but for now, I will take the best player in the deal, and that is Brandon Cooks.
Your Honor, the prosecutor here brought up how Joe Mixon, if he were to be the selection here at the 104 pick, would have to deal with the likes of a Jeremy Hill. No, not really. Giovanni Bernard, maybe from a passing aspect. But Joe Mixon has shown the ability to catch passes himself. Joe Mixon has shown the ability to run in between the tackles. Joe Mixon has shown the ability, at least at the college level, and very well at the college level, Meg, the ability to be a three-down type back. And that is exactly what Dynasty and all fantasy football players are looking for in their drafts. Three-down workhorse-style backs. Brandon Cooks has gone to a team that has loaded up this offseason with offensive weapons. They went out and got two running backs. They brought in Brandon Cooks. They extended Edelman. They still have Gronk. They have so many different options. I think Brandon Cooks is a fine player. I have Brandon Cooks on so many of my own teams, Your Honor. But Brandon Cooks, it seems, has put himself in a spot where he is at best a best ball option, because it is going to be so hard to predict when Brandon Cooks is going to have the big weeks and when you should play him. If Joe Mixon develops into what I and so many other people believe he can be, that three-down workhorse style back, there is no prediction needed. As long as he's on the field, you play him. I rest my case.
Well, you both have made compelling arguments. Doug, leaning on the side of the better player that we know of, Tim, discrediting everybody else that is a threat to Joe Mixon's potential. I'm going to go ahead and side with Timmy here on this one. I believe that Joe Mixon is the better option in this trade, just for the mere fact that the Patriots do not game plan around one player every week of a high-low candidate for a best ball situation. And I think in a dynasty situation, you want a little bit more consistency. So Joe Mixon is found not guilty.
Consider my appeal formally filed.
That was a tough choice for me. I really do like Brandon Cooks. I really do. Mm-hmm. I have him on a lot of teams.
I think it's really splitting hairs. Yeah.
But I know you being the Patriots guy, I figured I'd give you your guy to argue for. And I really miscalculated this when I wrote these out, because I wanted to be in on this next argument here.
But take it, then. Like, take it.
Well, you can take it. That's fine.
No. We'll stay with the rotation, because
puff, give.
I'll let you two guys. I'll let you two guys battle this out. I'll be the judge. The two defendants, Allen Robinson or DeAndre Hopkins. Now, Doug, it is back to you to choose. Which one of these gentlemen are you going to be arguing for?
I'm going to argue for DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay. Mm. So, Kelly, that leaves you with Allen Robinson, the Jaguars receiver who had a lackluster season. Both these guys coming off lackluster seasons, hoping for some bounce backs here. So Why don't you try to explain to me why Allen Robinson is the man to have here?
Allen Robinson is a younger player. Apparently, Blake Bortles is taking the time to improve his throwing motion. Jacksonville actually has a running back that will have more than 3.5 seconds to get the ball off to his best wide receiver. So I feel a change is coming, a direction that has been needed for Allen Robinson to return to the rookie form that he once showed that he has the potential to be a beast wide receiver.
Okay.
Your Honor, there is a change coming in Jacksonville, and that's going to be a run-heavy offense. So I don't want anything to do with Allen Robinson in this scenario against DeAndre Hopkins. Now, I know that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be dealing with a quarterback better than one Brock Osweiler that he had last year when he had a very disappointing fantasy season. But DeAndre Hopkins is 25 years old. He's got potentially Deshaun Watson throwing to him and a veteran in Tom Savage, who is a Nicolas Cage clone. So that's a bonus point. Sure. For DeAndre Hopkins, when we talk about outside receivers with amazing hands, just a silky smooth receiver who's a target monster, I mean, what else is there beside him in the passing game? Will Fuller? Jalen Strong? I don't even know any other wide receivers on that team. CJ Fedorowicz? Like, DeAndre Hopkins is going to be the focus of that offense, where in Jacksonville, yeah, you have Allen Robinson, who I do like as a player, but you still have Marquise Lee, the GOAT, and Allen Hurns, who is going to return healthy. In a run-heavy offense, I am – oh, yes. We're like a crazy farmer. So that's why you got to take DeAndre Hopkins over Allen Robinson. I'm not buying into Robinson as much this year because of that offense, that Tom Coughlin old man, run the ball, run Fournette into the ground, and they're going to play it safe and play better defense, and Bortles is going to be more of a game manager instead of playing from behind all the time and lobbing up bombs to Allen Robinson, who, against number one corners or top-ranked corners, isn't very successful. Case closed.
Well, Kelly, I'd like to say you presented a very interesting case. I have love for both of these guys. That's why I wanted to be in on this. I wanted to I wanted to be on Kelly's side where Doug would get to choose, and because I can make an argument for both of these guys myself, but I have to make a decision here, and based on this offseason and who I've been buying, I have been buying DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
Situation at quarterback has to improve. It has to. I don't love Deshaun Watson, but it has to be better than Brock Osweiler. It has to be. Mm-hmm. I have been not a savage truther by any means, but like a mild savage believer, maybe. I have a little hope for the young man. He's got a pretty good arm on him, that's for sure. But Doug hit on it there. If you just line up the receiving core, I think Jacksonville, on paper, has a pretty decent receiving core. I like their receiving options. I think it's DeAndre Hopkins and then a bunch of middling. Sorry, Tyler. Sorry. We're already making you edit, and now Doug and I are both taking shots at Will Fuller, but he is more of a gimmicky-style player.
Baby hands.
He's a deep route guy with quarterbacks that don't have a lot of experience throwing the deep route.
Or you have to find ways to get the ball to him in space. You have to manufacture ways to get him the ball where DeAndre Hopkins can go and run that route. And you saw 2 years ago, if the route doesn't work and he doesn't separate himself from coverage, which he does most times, you can still just throw it up there. He's very good once the ball's in the air. He can go up and win those contested catches, that's for sure. So I'm going with DeAndre Hopkins here. Doug, you're now 2-0 versus Kelly. You swept him. Yeah. So who's that now? Doug, I think you're back to being the judge here.
Yes, sir.
Kelly, you get your choice. So the two sides of this case. We're bringing back Amari Cooper back in the courthouse. He's been in the mix now a couple times. And we're going to bring in a rookie. We're going to bring in the Saints rookie running back, Kamara, or Allen Robinson and and Moncrief. So
I'm going to go ahead and take Amari Cooper and the Alvin Kamara side of this. I like the option of Amari Cooper and Alvin Kamara, PPR back. Not AP's for me. I think he's washed. So I think Kamara is going to get plenty of work. Reggie Bush-esque style of Saints offense. No, great option at wide receiver and running back here. Not a huge fan of Moncrief. I think everybody's been waiting for him to pop, and it just hasn't happened. And I think you're going to be waiting another year because I just don't think Moncrief's that guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, jury, I would like to present to you my opening statement from before. I did mention that I do think Amari Cooper has stud potential. He hasn't lived up to it yet. Alvin Kamara is a rookie running back currently behind a future Hall of Famer and last year's starter in Ingram there in New Orleans. On my side, I have Allen Robinson, who in his rookie year broke out and showed not just stud potential, but stud ability. And then we have Moncrief, paired together with one of the league's best quarterbacks. He has a very good wide receiver opposite him in T.Y. Hilton. So it allows Moncrief to play the game of football without worrying about double coverage that I fear Amari Cooper is going to continue to see. Allen Robinson, we just highlighted how that Jaguars wide receiver core, I don't want to say stacked, but it has plenty of viable options. So if they decide to potentially double up on Allen Robinson, I would hope that a Marquise Lee or an Allen Hurns would push coverage away from Allen Robinson and allow him to revisit that stud production we saw from him 2 years ago. While we've also talked about Moncrief every year, the hype, and he doesn't necessarily ever live up to it, I think now is a better chance than ever because of him not living up to that hype. His price has dropped to a point where he's now being put in on trades where you're having Amari Cooper and Allen Robinson, you know, back to back, and Kamara, an unproven rookie, being traded for the Moncrief portion of this piece. So value-wise, I think the Moncrief and Allen Robinson side of this deal is the side you want.
Well, this judge's patience has worn extremely thin with Dante Moncrief. As a former Moncrief die-on-the-hill type whose skin is slowly starting to rot and decay, I have to say that I'm going to go with the Amari Cooper, Alvin Kamara side. And my reasoning is this. Amari Cooper, as we stated earlier, super young, already had two good seasons. Allen Robinson has had one super big season and one disappointing season. And Moncrief, you know, he caught a touchdown every four passes last year. So that's cool and all, but that's unsustainable. So I'm going to go with the Amari Cooper side because I think of Alvin Kamara in a Saints backfield where the Saints typically are top five in running back targets in the passing game every year. And the only other pass catching backs they have on that team are something called Travis Cadet and Daniel Lasco. If you know who those are, then high five. I like his workout metrics, but yeah. I'm going to go with Alvin Kamara. They spent the draft capital on him and I think he's going to get a ton of targets. So I think he can help you in year one, along with Amari Cooper. So I'm ruling in favor of Kelly.
Kelly, very nice. Congratulations. You are 2-0. 2-0 over me.
Yeah, I respect the court's ruling. This judge is beast.
Oh. So that leaves us with our last case. Kelly, you are now the judge. It is Doug and I. And that is the case of Joe Mixon v. Jay Ajayi. I did it earlier. I'll do it again. I'll argue for Mixon. And let me put my Boise State hat on here so I don't upset my Ajayi love. But go ahead, Doug.
Jay Ajayi v. Joe Mixon. Here is why you want Jay Ajayi. Already an established NFL starter with not much behind him as far as competition for running back touches, other than Kenyon Drake and maybe Damian Williams. He ran for over 200 yards four times last year. I believe he led the league in yards after contact. He's going to be running behind what should be an improved offensive line, depending on Pouncey's health. So I like the prospects there. And if you believe some of the offseason chatter from Mr. Adam Gase, his head coach, it is believed that Jay Ajayi is going to receive more work out of the passing game, which is something at Boise State, which he proved that he could do. Because I believe, if I remember correctly, he had a 50-reception season at Boise State. So I believe that Jay Ajayi not only is going to be valuable on the ground, but also through the air. And that's why I'm taking Jay Ajayi.
Your Honor, I would like to present as evidence the x-rays of Jay Ajayi's knee. And let's remember that it is
erroneous.
This is a time bomb waiting to explode. Again, I will highlight the potential competitors there in Cincinnati. We have a pass catching option and a washed up big back. Jay Ajayi can do both of their jobs. He can do both of their jobs better. The offensive line between the two teams, I will not argue, is anywhere comparable. I will definitely give that argument to Jay Ajayi. He has the much better offensive line. But Joe Mixon is the much more highly touted prospect coming out of college. He has a better quarterback, a true number one wide receiver there in A.J. Green, He has a very solid tight end. Cincinnati, I like to believe in Adam Gase a little bit here, so don't think I'm trying to crap on the Dolphins, but I think that the Bengals currently have a better offensive system, which will lead to better production for Mr. Joe Mixon.
Your Honor, may I interject?
Yes, go ahead.
I did not believe this courthouse was located on Narrative Street.
All right, you guys have both made very compelling arguments. Tim did touch on the thing that is the biggest concern, the deciding factor, I think, in this case, is the time bomb of the knee that is Jay Ajayi's career. I'm going to lead with the Joe Mixon side and award it to Tim. I trust Joe Mixon to be a better player long term. I feel like that Ajayi comes out ahead on this argument if you are definitely in a win now state. Rule that way, but I'm going Joe Mixon long term. Final ruling.
I'm going to see that you're court martialed.
You're going to run me out of town.
Get out of here.
What is going on? I gave him the decision, and he's out like a trout now.
Yeah, he's just
celebrating
like,
with.
He might be dancing. He might be dancing behind that picture. I'm not really sure. Tim wins, and then he just walks. He just walked off the court. He dropped his ball and left.
Yeah.
I was on mute. I wanted to say, I had this whole thing I was going into. I wanted to say the first five cases we went through, I felt that the correct decision was made. Now, I just won this last case, but we're back outside the courthouse now. I'm on the steps. I got the local news reporters in front of me. Microphones are in my face. I can't even say it's a good day for justice because, honestly, I feel dirty about this one. I feel I got the wrong man off the hook. Personally, I do believe that Jay Ajayi is the better case. And I'm sorry I had to bring up the knee, but it's the only ammo I had. So,
I'm shooting holes through your case.
Yeah, I love Jay Ajayi, and especially with that Miami offensive line. As long as they're healthy, I think Jay Ajayi can have a heck of a career until something would happen with any. And I hope it's 7-8 years down the line. I hope he has a nice long solid career. Because I really do like him. I do like him a lot. Now, again, just because one of us was on a certain side of an argument does not believe we don't like the people on the opposite side of the argument. We just did this for a little bit of fun. I know last time I had some Twitter interaction with people saying, like, how could you, you know, say this or that? It's the game. I have to. So, you know, don't come at Kelly or Doug or myself thinking – we don't necessarily, if I argued against Amari Cooper, don't think I dislike Amari Cooper. I think Amari Cooper is a heck of a player, but just for this game. So with that's all our cases. Did either one of you guys see any other trades out there you guys wanted to try to throw up in front of the court here?
So I've got one. It's actually in my home league that I pulled off a trade during the draft. So we could talk about that a little bit. It's actually an interesting one because it's a salary cap and a contract year league. So if you want it, we can cover that and you guys can take a side and I'll judge. How's that sound?
I love that because it's throwing in the salary cap and the contract length. I like this. This is a bigger picture type thing here.
Yes. So this is a little bit more of a deeper dive in the pool, if you will.
Yeah.
So
you're asking two non-thinking men, a thinking man's question, but let's try this out.
Challenge let's accepted. All right. So side one is DeAndre Hopkins at $7.7 million. And he's signed for 3 more years where it goes up 20% each year. You don't have to do the math. You can get an idea. And the 211, the other side of the deal is Charles Sims on a 1-year deal for $3.6 million. John Brown on a 3-year deal for $2.1 million. And the 1-6, which ended up being Mike Williams on a 3-year deal, which is about $1.8 million. So the money is actually a wash.
And what's the cap in this league?
The cap is like $115 million. It's pretty big. But it's also IDP. It's like 50 roster spots.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, no major cap issues are going to be had by either side here, it looks like. And like you said, the money seems to wash out here. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, so which side we got?
Kelly, are you leaving it up to me to choose?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think I'm going to take the Mike Williams side. I like the young rookie prospect, and I'm going to go with the Mike Williams side. That side sounded a little bit more – intriguing. I know the money ended up being a wash, but it sounded like you got a little bit more length of contract there on that side with John Brown and a rookie coming in.
Okay, so That leaves me with, it was DeAndre Hopkins in the 211?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. It's very simple. I'm getting the best player in the deal by far, without question. Easily the best player in this deal is DeAndre Hopkins. So hands down, right away, I have, in the moment, won the trade. Now the future, you know, going down the line, Mike Williams may begin to develop into something in 2-3 years down the line from now. But it might take even longer than that. And so you're going to be faced with, at the end of that 3-year contract, do I re-sign this guy who still hasn't proven anything to me? Or do I let him go and then maybe he blossoms on somebody else's roster? John Brown has shown flashes at times, but never consistently. Carson Palmer is not long for this league anymore. I would much rather have the biggest stud. It is far and away. It's not even close. That DeAndre Hopkins is the best player in this deal. And I still get a shot at a player at the 211. And we discussed that this is an IDP league. So if you want to lean on another offensive player, there will be offensive players that fall. Or you can go get some stud defensive player later on.
Would you like to know what player was taken at the 211?
Let's go.
Because I forgot to add that. So it is a standard scoring league. Mm-hmm. So obviously that factors in. But at the 211, the player that was selected in that deal was Donta Foreman.
Oh. So you're getting two Texans, but is a standard league, Donta Foreman, I apologize, is a standard league special. This guy is built to be a touchdown machine, a goal line back. He's the one that broke Melvin Gordon's single game record. So he has the ability to run between the tackles. But just look at his body size, the way he's built. This guy can score touchdowns, and that's exactly what you need in a standard scoring league. The touchdowns are king. So pair him with the best option in the entire deal in DeAndre Hopkins, and I'd much rather have this.
And just for the record, it was Samaje Perine that broke Melvin Gordon's record.
You're right.
So close.
It was close. Kelly, what say you?
For Donta Foreman, I'm not a huge believer in that. I like the value of where you're taking him. I don't know how many IDP guys actually went in there before him. I generally have tried to avoid him because he has like a Jeremy Hill kind of feel to me. Like, I feel like he could be valuable if he's getting touchdowns and Bill O'Brien, if he goes anything along the lines of the hoodie offense. Yeah, that's going to work out great. But there's a lot of question marks there for me to take him at 211.
Well, I think as the judge, I'm going to rule on my side because I was the one that received DeAndre Hopkins. And to me, it was a very easy trade. Luckily at the 1-6, I found an owner that was willing to deal. I actually sent an offer initially that included an 18 first and one of my 18 seconds, and he countered and with the same players on the board. And I clicked accept in a second because obviously he's not in his team. He's not built to win now. I won the league last year. So I'm looking to repeat. So I added the absolute best player, in this deal without hesitation whatsoever. Cause I'm not a big Mike Williams guy. And if he wants to gamble on the upside, so be it.
Played, sir. Well played. Yeah,
with
thank you.
Yeah, with all those caveats there thrown in, with you winning the league last year and being able to pick up a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, I do like the prospects that is John Brown. I'm not a huge Mike Williams guy, but I look at it as you're giving away a lot of question marks for a guy that has shown the ability to be an absolute stud wide receiver. And so to pick him up, and then you pick up, as we discussed, who could be a touchdown specialist in this league, informing that big body guy he is. I love it. I love it, especially for a win now team. Absolutely love it.
Thank you, sir.
So with that, I think that's going to wrap up our Law and Order case, our Law and Order episode. Guys, I had a lot of fun. I like arguing the sides more than I like being judge. I feel like I'm, I don't know.
Same here.
Hurting somebody's feeling, like, you know, good try. But yeah, I had a lot of fun, and I look forward to keep doing this, hopefully in the future. So guys, with that, reach out to us on Twitter. Doug, where can they find you?
So you can find me on Twitter at TheFantasyFather. I am the host of the Trophy Time podcast, which is presented by TFFGurus.com, and I also write articles in season and off season on the website as well.
Now, if you're wondering if you heard him right, you did. It is TheFantasyFather, D-A, Fantasy Father. On Twitter. So just to make sure everybody does understand that. Kelly, where can they find you?
You can find me at Dynasty Kelly App. You can hit me up with any of your lineup questions when the season rolls around, or if you got any trade questions, feel free to shoot them my way.
You can find me at Tim Dynasty FF. You can find Tyler on Twitter at DynastyGunth. You can hit up the show on Twitter or go over to the website, DynastyHappyHour.com. Doug, I will get your rankings live. Doug has finished his rankings. I didn't want to put them out there before they were completed. And, you know, you see some guy that maybe is a little bit out of place, and all of a sudden you guys are harassing Doug about why.
Yeah, I'm a little bit different of a ranker than most, so it could be there could be a little bit of a rocking of the boat with some of my ranks, but that's okay.
Hey, you know, everybody has their own opinion. Everybody's entitled to it. So take it easy on Doug a little bit, guys. All right? Don't harass him too.
You can come and at me. It's all good.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, go over, check out the website, check out all the articles, all the ranks, all that good fun stuff. And then as well, all the podcasts that are over there. Doug, you mentioned your podcast, Trophy Time. That is over there on the website, along with so many other great podcasts. We just added one, if you didn't see it on Twitter, the Fantasy Tilt podcast. It's not Dynasty Tilt because it's a redraft podcast. It's going to have Dynasty Frank on there. I'm sorry, Frank the Tank's on there. Tim, at Tim NFL, Tim Torch. I'm trying to remember who else is on there.
Keaton Denley, I think.
Yeah. Keaton. And I think there's one more that is yet to be announced, but everybody's going to like this gentleman. So just keep your eyes open and your ears open, and just big announcements still yet to come. Big things happening over there. So Fantasy Tilt is going to be the new podcast coming out in July. So stay tuned for that. With that being said, reach out to us on the website. You can contact us directly there. One more time to the Sitter Start app. Thank you very much for being a great sponsor. Go download them on the iTunes or Google Play application stores. And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Until then, draft, trade, win, and repeat.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at Dynasty Kelly App, at Tim Dynasty FF, and most importantly, at Dynasty HH Pod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.